Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the Big Guy Ryback, joined by Raj Giri, Wrestling Inc., WrestlingInc.com. Happy Friday, Raj.
Happy Friday. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Just staying busy with everything, Feed Me More Nutrition and Ryback TV, and feeling very good physically. Nine plus weeks vegan, and wow. I broke up a lot more scar tissue with my massage therapist this past week, in which she's been with me for the last, like, I think it's been almost 4 months now since we've really like figured out the scar tissue deal. And she just said, she goes, you're almost all better. Which she's been very accurate with her assessments. And this past week, it was like a popcorn machine going off of my shoulder. Because we're getting like to the deep in there, that all this scar tissue and adhesions and it's like collagen that over the years I didn't realize was causing so many of the problems. So every day is like a breakthrough. Like I feel good. Like it's like I feel really, really good. So I'm really anticipating getting these last stem cells in February and then never ever hearing when am I coming back to wrestling ever again.
Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. And we got a busy week this week. This, you know, the last few weeks, I feel like I've been a little slower on the news, but a lot happened this week. So just jumping right to it. First off,
we could just make up stuff like other shows, Raj. And I feel like we're too positive. Maybe we really need to really turn this up a notch.
Triple H is banned from all of wrestling. Triple H is divorcing Stephanie and going to AEW.
just making up lies about WWE, only WWE. Everything else is positive.
Some sad news this week with WWE Hall of Famer Pat Patterson passing away. He was at the age of 79. He had been battling cancer, and he passed away in Miami earlier this week. So condolences to his family and friends. And a legendary figure, obviously the first ever Intercontinental Champion, won it in Rio de Janeiro in a Phantom tournament. But he was a great in-ring worker throughout his career, but very influential once he retired behind the scenes in WWE. He was there when you were there, right? Still working there?
Off and on, I posted a picture, actually. I believe it was the last day I had the Intercontinental Championship at a live event, and we were in Montreal. I believe it was Montreal because Pat was at the show, and I was able to get a photo with him because they told me prior, I think 2 days prior, that I was dropping the title to Kevin Owens. And at that point, that's when my contract stuff was going on, and I kind of already knew what was going on. I'm not really big on pictures. I don't really care. He was there. I go, this is, what else am I going to, I don't think I'm going to be here too much longer. So I'm glad I got that picture because it was a nice photo, and he was always kind and respectful. to me is the most important thing. As far as wrestling wise, while I was there, in being up there in age, he wasn't nearly as figured in anymore as far as being there all the time. But whenever he was, he always was in the meetings. He always had access to Vince, and had Vince's ear. But I could see throughout my time there, because I remember Pat, he'd be sitting in the chair by Gorilla, would have a monitor outside. And I remember multiple times with him just kind of not understanding Vince's mindset anymore. And nothing bad, nothing. He was never their friends. But I remember him, this guy that we always heard how instrumental he was and how creative he was. And to see a guy like that, he was frustrated a lot of times over what things that were going on. And it was very apparent. And it just showed how much he cared about wrestling and the product. And it kind of shows how the product changed and has continued to change throughout as we've all gotten older. And Vince has adjusted the business model to where nobody really understands some of the decisions being made, and Pat included. But he was always, from the moment I met him at Florida Championship Wrestling, I remember I was telling you before, like, he huddled us all around after he was there. We had to do like practice matches and things, but I remember he got everybody around and told like a really funny joke, and everybody was laughing, and it was a little bit inappropriate, but to me, that was two thumbs up. But it was, he just didn't give a shit. Like, he'd done everything, man. He smoked until the day he died, I'm sure, unless he stopped recently, which obviously is not a good thing. But I mean, when you hear he did things his way, he was gay. He was proud of it. And there's nothing wrong. Like, that's just, he was just himself. And I always preach that, just be yourself and don't really worry too much about what other people think or say, because they're always going to think or say something. So just be yourself. And he had that figured out a long, long time ago. So my condolences and everyone, obviously, for Pat and his friends and to WWE and to Vince and Hunter, as much as I don't agree with anything. Obviously, when you lose a friend like that and somebody close, it's not, you know, your heart goes out to them. And he was so instrumental in so many things, and we hear it from guys like The Rock, and you hear Jericho and other guys, you know, he was, when they would allow him to be figured in and to help, he played a huge role. And you know, I wish he was more figured in when I was there. I wish, you know, he was, when I was involved in Top Storylines, I wish he was more involved in that. But it was off and on when he was there. And I don't, obviously getting older and health and you know, that all had to play a role. He's not going to be on the road every week with that. But I'll say that, man, the guy was always, I don't have a bad thing to say. Like, you know, and I would tell you if there was a moment that I thought like something, I would tell it. He was every time I ever saw him, man, he was kind and respectful. He was always talking to talents, trying to help them and give them some input on things that might be able to help their career. And, you know, I've yet to hear anybody say, man, Pat Patterson gave me bad advice. So,
right. And he's known as one of the greatest guys to come up with finishes in matches for wrestlers. 420 Express in the chat saying, I heard Pat Patterson was the one who was the mastermind of the Royal Rumble match. And that is true. Pat Patterson did come up with that idea.
Yeah. Just a creative, creative guy. And people like that are so important in wrestling, Raj. And it's crazy with everything going on in WWE. I honestly feel like we are watching. I know what's happening. Like, we're seeing the out with the old and in with the new sort of thing in pro wrestling and the whole WWE AEW thing. Like, all great things come to an end eventually, unfortunately. And like, we're seeing, you know, Vince, and like I said, we're seeing changes happening, whether it's their decisions they're making of releasing people that have been there a long time, or unfortunate things like this, where wrestling is changing, whether we like it or not. And Pat wasn't nearly as figured in over the years in any ways, but he was always, you know what I mean? The knowledge and the wealth of information that he had, it's, you know, hopefully it was passed on enough and that can be passed on to the younger generation as well. So,
yeah. Absolutely. So again, condolences to the friends and family of Pat Patterson. Some huge news this week. This one had the internet on fire. Sting debuted in AEW. Sting had been working for WWE. He signed with WWE in 2014. Did the job to Triple H in his first match with WWE. And then later that year, which was in 2015, later that year, he suffered a career-ending injury during a match with then WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. And he has spinal stenosis, so he's 62 years old, or almost 62, so it's pretty clear he's not going to be wrestling again, and probably can't do much physical, but it is a multi-year deal. He is back as a full-time character, and he's going to have a full-time role with the company.
I love it. And that is a huge acquisition for the company. And finding a role, great debut, by the way, great debut. Wish it could have been with a full crowd, but even with not a full crowd, the energy was great on that. I think they did a very, really, really great piece of business with that. And I really, really liked the moments he had, the little brief moment with Arn, the brief moment with Cody, and then the moment with Darby Allin. And it's really good when they do that. It's always, you call it getting the rub in a way, but it's good to see like a guy like Darby who people, we say he's undersized as far as what your typical main event guy sometimes is and whatnot, but it's finding the right role for him, and he could be the most over guy on the show regardless. But actually seeing him next to Sting, and granted, there is a pretty good size difference. I remember looking at it, I go, that's not nearly as significant as I thought it was. You know what I mean? And I feel like if I'm thinking that, that's a great – they did a good job on that, of visually giving the audience that, because it elevates everyone. But in my mind, it elevated Darby the most out of all that with nothing happening. I go – oh man, Darby's not as small maybe as I thought he even was. Like maybe it was a good thing, and I like it. And I'm curious to see what role he's going to play with them moving forward with that. But the rate, everything, that was a good piece of business. And absolutely, getting a guy like that, I want Bret Hart signed to a Legends deal with them. Like I want all the former guys representing the new wrestling company.
Yeah, And Sting, you know, he's one of those difference makers. I don't know if you have him on every week, if you start to lose some of that effect, especially if he's just a manager or something. But if you have him in some sort of prominent role, that's a name from the 90s. When you ask people, you know, when people today, when they hear you watch wrestling, they're like, oh, they'll mention Stone Cold and The Rock and Goldberg. And Sting is one of those names that you often hear, or Hogan and The Warrior. You know, he's in that group of names that people really remember from that period. So he can help bring in some of those lapsed fans, and whether AEW can keep them, that's all up to the storytelling and what they do with them.
And up to the other storylines they got going on, and getting people invested in the new stars. Right. And that, see, this is where I'm excited, because this isn't WWE handling this with their typical format. This is a new company handling this that knows the business they need to get done. So this is good all the way around. And you know, obviously with his age and with the past injuries, I don't think we need to see Sting wrestle anymore. If it's able to be done, and he's okay, you know, I'll never stop somebody from wanting to. That's who am I, you know, he's a smart enough guy, and he's wrestled. He's had a hell of a career. He knows if he can do a match or not. And maybe there is something with him and Darby at some point. Maybe that is something that can be done. I don't know. But if not, it is – I agree. Having him on every week can eventually lose its appeal, but not if it's done right. And it's you just give him a little here and there. And I don't know what that is, but it's – I'm excited to see what they have. Hell of a piece of business by AEW. And I'm sure that will be, that investment will be worth every penny they spent.
Absolutely. So that had the internet on fire. Also on that show on Dynamite, Kenny Omega won the AEW world title. Don Callis, who's an executive vice president at Impact Wrestling, was on commentary. Now, Callis and Omega and Jericho go way back, and they're close friends. So Callis was on commentary, and the finish of the match saw Callis get a microphone and hand it to Omega. Omega used the microphone on Moxley when they had agreed not to use weapons during the match, as the referee was at, was distracted. Omega hit a bunch of B triggers, then the one winged angel for the win. And then Callis and Omega ran out with the title. Basically, Omega went full heel here. And Alex Marvez went to interview them. Callis said, "We would find out what happened Tuesday on Access TV." Alex Marvez said, "Wait, Dynamite's on Wednesday." And Callis responded, "Well, yeah, we're going to be on Impact Wrestling on Access TV." And they took off. So Omega is going to appear in some form on Impact Wrestling. And the word we're getting is that this is kind of a one-off as far as Omega appearing on the show. Mm-hmm. And that the two brands are not going to be that intertwined, and that the Good Brothers are probably going to wrestle a match for AEW, but it's not going to be a full blown, like an invasion angle or anything like that is what we heard this morning and yesterday.
Yeah, no. So again, I dig it because it's stepping outside of the normal way WWE's always done business, and they're doing some other things as the, what I would say the number two company as far as ratings go right now on all of this, and in this transition phase of them eventually becoming number one, in my opinion, they are doing things to get people talking, and with that internet crowd. And I think as long as good business is done, you know, it is, I say AEW's, in my opinion, a far bigger company than Impact Wrestling, okay. But it's almost like WWE's the Transformers. I don't know the analogy I'm trying to make, but they're just like this just super machine, right? And we got these two smaller machines at the moment that are linking up and becoming a bigger machine in it. And maybe there's another piece they could add on to this. It's kind of the way I'm looking at it. And they're just, the main thing is they're trying new things. Mm-hmm. Which is something that I think is all we can say is let's okay. I want to see what they do with it, and it's creating good buzz and good excitement. And I think there's always going to be people that are skeptical and criticize regardless. The only thing that matters, and this is in pro wrestling, and I know AEW is aware of this, whether their ratings go up or their ratings go down, the criticism is going to come on both ways. You want the criticism going up. You want that because the numbers are the only thing that matters, the ratings and the money being made by the company. And obviously in the talent in the locker room morale, all that is very heavily figured in as well. But when those two things, revenue solves all problems. When things are going well, that internet noise that is negative is irrelevant. It doesn't matter because it's there either direction. And I like them doing this. I like them creating some things. We don't need an invasion angle. We don't need, there's no need for invasion angles. There's just need to just create good television. Maybe there's a couple storylines involved between two companies. It's not two companies trying to shut each other down. It's two companies doing business with each other, elevating each other in a way. And, you know, obviously with Kenny, you know, I would love to say, you know, based off old wrestling psychology that the first time we see him is on AEW with the championship as the newly crowned champion. But this is something different. I don't watch Impact, nothing against it. I don't have it on the cable thing, but I want to see, I'm going to look up what happens with Impact next week because of this. I'm going to look online and see what he does for that, which, and that's somebody that doesn't watch that product because I have the other stuff that I watch. But so it's working in that regard already. And I think you can get a little bit of a crossover. Maybe people that watch Impact that don't watch AEW, maybe they get another 30,000 viewers out of this, right? And that consistent, just throwing a random number up. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower. Maybe Impact gets another 50, 60,000 viewers that they didn't have or lower, up or more. And so what you did, and then at the end of this, and you keep doing going on, and it served its purpose and elevated each company a little bit. And that's why I said with AEW, bring in Sting in. You're not all of a sudden going to get a 3.0 on the ratings. It's just small bumps. And getting you bring people in that may bring you another 20 to 50 or 60,000 viewers here or there over time or more. And you keep adding those pieces in, and then they get familiar with your talent, the people that are being built up. And before you know it, you're building a new audience. And I see AEW is trying to do that. And that's all I care about. They're trying.
It's interesting because, I mean, this is great for Impact. In the ratings this past week, they did 166,000 viewers. And we'll get more to the ratings here in a little bit. Dynamite did 913,000. So Dynamite beat, it had 450% more viewers than Impact. In the demo, it did Impact did a 0.05. Dynamite did a 0.42. So it beat it by 740%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just... And most of the people that watch Impact probably already watch AEW. So I don't fully get the benefit for AEW with this. I do like that. And again, it seems like it might be a short-term thing, but it seems like it's most of the benefit goes for Impact. And AEW, I don't know. It's like when WWF back in the 90s, when they'd have Smoky Mountain Wrestling on, it just, mm-hmm. to me, it just kind of made WWF feel smaller. Like they're having to partner with these leagues that no one's ever heard of. I don't know. To me, I just don't see the benefit.
And I understand that as well. And because AEW is growing and building, but the important thing is this though, to me, is they're open-minded and they're trying different things. And that is, mm-hmm. to me, that's all I care about, because it's not doing things just to do them WWE's way. It's, we're going to try something. Maybe they hit a gold mine with this that we don't see. Maybe they know something we don't know in all of this. Maybe there is something deeper than all of this, than just what we think we can see on the outside. So that to me is where the intrigue is. And also, this company, they're going to make mistakes. They have in the past, but they learn from them, and you improve upon them. And they're a brand new company that are doing way better business than anybody ever thought they had a chance of doing. And to me, they're making moves, television moves now, that are smart with the roster they have. The roster's getting better. The talent are getting better. Things aren't perfect still, and they're never going to be. But they're trying things and they're learning. And for me, and that's all we could ask for. And I get what I do agree. This is more beneficial to AEW than Impact on paper.
The other way, more beneficial to Impact.
Yeah. Yeah, it benefits Impact, sorry, more on paper. I agree on that. But again, let's see. I'm just really curious to see what really goes down with all of it. And we can analyze it a little better in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Davey Boy Smith Jr. is now a free agent. Davey Boy's had runs in WWE. He's got good size. He's really improved in the ring. He had been wrestling in MLW as one of their top stars. And Court Bauer, MLW CEO, confirmed that, he is now a free agent. So whether he goes to WWE or AEW, I'm sure both of those companies will be interested in him.
Yeah, Harry, man, I came up from when I got re-signed and went down to Florida Championship Wrestling. He was down there with wrestling with Tyson and Natalya as the Hart Dynasty. And he's always been just – me and Harry always laugh. We always get along. He's a funny guy. His sense of humor. He's Canadian, 100%. How he like kind of just that Canadian. He's had experience in Canada with around everyone. The Canadian personalities tend to be different sometimes, and I always appreciated it in his sense of humor. But in ring, man, he works really hard. He's one of those guys that trains like the MMA style, the shoot style a little more, and just train. He knows a lot of different holds, loves grappling. And I think if Harry is able, I haven't seen like recent stuff of him, but I always remember just he's physically just a specimen. He's a lot bigger than his dad, like, stature wise, height wise, whereas the British Bulldog was a little shorter. Harry's physically very imposing individual. That if
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The one thing, Harry's always been really nice. Harry's really, really nice. If Harry is able to flip that switch and to get that personality, tap into real life anger on screen, and maybe he has, but if he gets a big shot with AEW and he's able to really tap into that, man, I think he could do some damage on mainstream TV. We never got to really see that in WWE with him. Like I said, he's such a respectful, nice guy. I think when Harry really, really turns it up, though, and he can, man, he's going to be very beneficial to whoever signs him. And like I said, he works so hard, man. He's such a hard worker. I've never the guy. He always works hard. So I'm happy to see him get an opportunity and make some really, really good money, hopefully. And just I think they could do such good business with him. And I personally would like to see him go to AEW. I would like to eventually work a program with the guy. Like because I think I could bring out some intensity even more in him. And you got to be on top of your game when you work Harry. Because he can go.
Sorry, no, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff going on in my house, so I'm like muting the mic. But yeah, absolutely. And Harry Smith, he's trained a lot with Josh Barnett. I remember back in the day, I think him and Chad Gaspard, and those guys, they used to all train with Josh Barnett. Barnett, you know, would say that Harry's the real deal. So yeah, it'll be great to see. And you yourself saying you really want to work with him, so that'd be fun to watch.
Because he's a big guy that can go, and he understands from the business. He has a good wrestling mind. And I think for Harry, it's just finding a way to get that intensity out on TV and that anger. Because skill-wise, man, it's all – he's skill-wise as far as in-ring ability is there.
Yeah. I'll keep this PG. DeShites is asking, will the Marks Court with Judge Ryback be returning?
Yeah, I'll have to do another appearance on there shortly. Been very busy with all everything going on, and I do a lot of content as it is. So some of that stuff that is, it's just a little ha-ha here and there to show a little different side of the personality, but there will be another one, yes.
All right, great. Triple H has been doing a lot of media the past couple of days to promote NXT TakeOver this Sunday, which is kind of, I feel like he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle with all the stuff going on with the AEW show.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, with Pat Patterson passing away, but during a media call that we were on, he talked about NXT not being involved with the Survivor Series, and I think a lot of people just thought, you know, WWE is snubbing NXT, but Triple H is saying it was because of COVID and that they're trying to keep the NXT and Performance Center talents kind of separate from the main roster because of the COVID stuff. And you have seen breakouts at the Performance Center and in NXT.
Yeah.
So apparently that was the reason, according to Triple H, why there was no NXT involvement at the Survivor Series.
Got to take it at face value, whether it's true or not. I don't know. It could be. They're not getting, like I said, they're great at whether that could be the exact reason or not. I think if they, there's just maybe they don't want to do it this year. But last year it was with AEW. They needed to raise the brand a little, but like I said, overall, I think it can hurt the main roster doing that as well. Kind of like it's like the Impact AEW thing. Like that was a thing where I think it lowered the main roster more than anything, because they put NXT over Strong to make it look like it was a dominant brand when it's not known as it's developmental is what it's always been known as, at least. So, you know, but I understand they're great business people. If that's not the reason, we just got to accept it as that's what they said. So can't argue with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we talked a little bit about, or, you know, we talked earlier about Impact and AEW. Tessa Blanchard, former Impact World Champion, left the company back in June. And she is a free agent right now. She's been a free agent. And it was noted in the Wrestling Observer that AEW has decided not to pursue her. She has had some controversy in her past, but she is one of the best female talents out there. And, in my opinion, I think she would be a difference maker wherever she signs.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of those things. Maybe it's just not right now. And I think you keep doing your thing, and in 6 months or a year, it could be 3 months, even it could be a different situation. You know, they got a lot of moving pieces up there. They have an idea of the direction they're going. And, you know, also, and I don't know enough about Tessa. I have met her on, I believe, a Northeast Wrestling show in just brief interaction. I don't know enough about her, nor is it none of my business necessarily, on some of the things when we read the negative headlines and things. I've never seen any of that. So I don't try not to judge on any of that. She is great though. And I do think she will benefit, you know, whatever roster she goes on. But it just could be, it's just not right now. So I think she just keeps doing her thing, keeps a good attitude. And, you know, I think they'll probably be an opportunity at some point. But, you know, AEW also can't just sign everybody right now. They haven't fired anybody during this pandemic, or like not at least to the level of what WWE, with a lot of the releases, they've held on to a lot of talent during this. You got to commend them, because that's just something with them. I'm sure they would have made more cuts by now as the roster and everything kind of evolves and changes and certain people. And man, that's a testament to Tony Khan and the way the ship he's running there, man. It says a lot about him as a human being. A lot of big businesses don't do that. They're not, you know what I mean? They and we've seen in WWE's gone the other direction on that. So I think there'll be more opportunities. I think once the COVID thing, when things start to get back to normal, whatever normal is going to be, I think we see more changes.
Yeah. And that is one of the things Tony Khan has brought up with all the talent that they have. And this is another reason why, you know, again, with the Impact thing, you know, if they do have Impact talent on their shows, then that's less screen time for their talent that's already having a hard time getting time on Dynamite. And Dark now will have 15 matches on there. And Tony Khan, during a media call this week, he talked about how Dark is a valuable program. It gets a lot of new talent, some experience, and, you know, gets to, you know, have people practice matches and things like that. And he said he would like for Dark to eventually be turned into two shows. Now, AEW is supposed to have a second show on TNT that got delayed because of COVID. And, you know, assuming everything goes well with the vaccine and everything and things get back to normal, the plan is still for a second show on TNT. So I don't know if they're going to split Dark up anytime soon just because they do have another show coming.
Yeah, and I want to address this too, because Tony Khan is a mark, says S.A. Suhail. And so here's something that we hear that people refer to him as that. So there's a difference between marks, and this is my, and as far as how I use the terminology, people that love wrestling, I don't refer to them as marks that are positive people. Marks, I refer to as the negative people that are obsessed with it in a negative way and leave negative comments and negative criticisms. And all they're trying to do is just bring everybody down. Those are the marks. Tony's not a mark. Tony loves wrestling. And he's making a lot of positive changes in the business. And it truly is disheartening to me to see people attacking this promotion and him that is trying to make so many positive changes in such a shit industry. And to me, you're not, like, I'm a wrestling fan. I love wrestling. And then I'm good enough to go do it and make a change and get in it and back it up, where a lot of people and all the people that are doing it, the same thing. So like, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and talk trash about people. Man, this is a company trying to make changes. Whether I go back to wrestling ever again or not, this is such a good thing what is happening, and such a good piece of business all the way around. And that somebody that actually cares and loves about the wrestling business and has the money to do so is making a change in impacting people's lives top to bottom, from wrestlers and making and getting new fans eventually. There's so much good going on with all of this. So I hate when I see that, and it's, man, unfollow my channel, don't watch my shit, because I don't like it. I don't like that mindset. And what they have a lot of talent there, Raj, right now. Yes, and there's only so many spots on TV, but I love what they're doing. And with the online shows, with the Being the Elite and some of the other things, I noticed they started another program because they had the Dark Order on. And this is something, a guy I got to wrestle, actually, John Silver. I didn't know a lot about John, and I didn't know anything about him when I worked him in WWE on the 2-on-1 match. But I remember all the guys at that time were always so cool. And everyone understood the business that was being done. But when he went to the Dark Order, I didn't really understand it. Even the Dark Order. The Dark Order now, to me, I remember when we would talk about it, I'd be like, the Dark Order, this is kind of, it was, I didn't, because it was this new thing, I didn't understand it. But the Dark Order to me is taking on a whole new element now. To me, the Dark Order is like this group of guys that are kind of a little odd. And John Silver plays a huge part of that. And with Alex Reynolds, I believe, is the other one that he does a lot of other stuff with. But I think there's such an opportunity getting your personality over on YouTube, whether you do your own channel or through AEW's outlets, preferably guys doing both, where guys can get themselves pretty over. I tell you, I didn't know much about John Silver, and I knew he was a smaller guy, and I know he could do a lot of cool things in the ring. His personality, man, has won me over, of being a little weirdo, and that's entertaining as all hell. And it's, I don't know if you've seen a lot of them on, but how he compliments other guys. There was a segment they did with him and Wardlow and Alex Reynolds that was very odd, very odd. And it was, but complimenting each other kind of in a homosexual way, so to speak, as far as just entertaining, though, as far as, because it's, I don't know what it is. And then Luke Harper shows up and he'll go, what the fuck? It reminds me of the dad and Step Brothers, when he gets pissed off at Wolf and the other guy, I can't remember his name to save me, when they get out of line. But there's an opportunity for guys to get themselves over on these shows that they're doing online and on the opportunities on Dark and things like that. And then eventually, you know, if you're not being used on TV, is where I'm getting with this, get yourself over online. If you're under contract with the company, take every opportunity you can get, do every interview you could do, get yourself over, get other people over, show your personality, you know, have your own YouTube, hustle. This is something I wish was taught to me, my first in wrestling. Guys, everyone get a YouTube channel, but it wasn't. That wasn't the stuff can help get you over. And it's, they have a lot of talent, yes, and there are only so many spots. But in that, when you create that environment, you will get the cream of the crop, because you'll have talent hustling even more to get over to get one of those spots, which creates better TV ultimately and hopefully better ratings. So it's a good problem to have. Mike.
Absolutely. Sorry about that. Jeez. Scatterbrain today. Scrambled eggs. Also, right now, Braun Strowman has suffered some sort of a knee injury at the Survivor Series. He was actually originally supposed to face Drew McIntyre for the title at TLC. He's out. And in my opinion, you're going to have Drew against AJ Styles now, which I think should be fantastic. But Braun, out currently with a knee injury, but it doesn't seem like it's that serious. He should be back probably within the next few weeks or so, but it's up in the air when he'll be back.
Yeah, if that's, I don't know what the situation on that is, but I mean, he's there. And I mean, as far as being a former power lifter, any of those guys that put heavy loads on their body consistently, you know, Mark Henry, it really, really strains your body. And Braun can move. Braun's a very physical wrestler. And I know he's in his 30s. I don't know his exact age, but I think it's a good little break for him. And hopefully it's nothing too serious. And he's always going to be figured in one way or the other there. They've kept him at a certain level regardless. He's had the title win now. So, you know, I think right now, I don't know. It seems like its goal is going to be an extended title reign on Drew. This is kind of, I think it was a way to break up having the Randy Orton thing and get it back. And it's a two-time champion deal now and have an extended run with this and try to cement Drew even further in the main event. But Drew also hasn't been champion with a crowd, which is sucks. Right. Yeah. We don't really know. So, but he's held it down during that. It's not, none of this is his fault. It's just, I think maybe it's buying time. I'd like to see a crowd back with Drew as champion. Personally, knowing him, he deserves that. Every talent deserves it. But Drew's a really good guy. And, you know, Braun, though, hopefully quick recovery. Nothing. Hopefully it's not an ACL or anything. It's those 6, 7, 8, 9 month mark things. And it's a quick little deal, and he'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely. So finally, the ratings this past week, obviously, it was SmackDown. We're talking about last Friday's SmackDown for the post-Survivor Series show. It aired the night after Thanksgiving. They're usually always down that night, but they still did 2.14 million viewers on Fox. So a really good number for the night. And they did a 0.6 rating in the demo. They've basically been doing a 0.6 or a 0.7, depending on the week lately. So still a good number for after the holiday.
Absolutely. And this, again, SmackDown's been the A show as far as the ratings go for WWE. So, and the hit hasn't been nearly as significant. It's just from what I see on that in Raw, it was always the opposite, where Raw was the more exciting show. I think the Roman storyline is a big part of that. Is helped that tremendously, and Roman's doing a fantastic job, I feel, in that heel role and character development. And to me, when I see it and knowing the spot he was in the babyface role, that Cena spot essentially, you know, and I'm seeing this is going to make Roman that much bigger of a babyface down the road when he eventually goes back. So,
yeah. Raw, on the other hand, they did 1.74 million viewers. Again, kind of a big drop from the first hour to the third hour. Not great, but it's not, I mean, for where they are right now, it's, you know, it's kind of in line with what they've been doing. So, I mean, there was a point in time when 1.74 million viewers would be super scary, but times have changed. So,
yeah,
for Raw, it's decent for what they've been doing.
Yeah, and you know, Raj, I was looking, like, Disco Inferno. I saw he on some of his tweets, he was talking about the ratings in comparison. And I know back in because there's a lot of what he says that there's things I agree with a lot with, and like from a wrestling standpoint. Then there's other things. Times do change, and things change, things evolve, and viewing habits definitely have changed as well. I'm curious, you know, in relation to where. How far has wrestling fallen with, like, the NFL's ratings? And I think you maybe have mentioned this back during the WCW, the Monday Night Wars. What was football pulling in during that period? Do you know, as far as the rating?
Yeah, I believe it was doing about 20 million viewers back then.
And what are, on average, what are we doing now with football?
Probably like 12, you know, around that neighborhood. So,
there's a huge drop though, right?
Yeah. It's probably like 40%. It's 60% of what it used to do.
Yeah. In wrestling, what's the drop in wrestling then? Is wrestling about similar with that?
Oh no. I mean, you've had close to 10 million viewers watching, you know, kind of at its peak.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you're down to 1.7. So that's 83% drop.
Okay. So that's, and that, just ballparking that, but that, you know, that there's something to it. The drop is far greater than it should have been.
Yes, for sure. I mean, wrestling, it is less popular. You know, the one thing with football is they've added so much since then. You had they didn't have the Thursday night show. I'm forgetting if they had Sunday night football back then, but Monday night football was the only, you know, nine primetime football back
then. There's three games now, essentially, as far as the bit Monday, Thursday, Sundays.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's watered it down. Same thing with wrestling. As soon as they brought SmackDown on it, you know, when WCW brought on Thunder, you saw the numbers start to fall. And, you know, WCW had other issues as well. But you have the diminishing returns when you start adding new content. You get more money, but popularity starts to decline the more and more you put out of any individual show.
I'm telling you, Raj, and this is just the creative genius in me speaking right now, but I look at the trends in the world of what's going on, and I've pushed this before, but we look to me, and I noticed this from how people, and more people are online than ever. I would say, and would you agree, Raj, and I don't watch it, not saying you do anything, but would you say that maybe porn is more popular than it's ever been worldwide?
Yes. Yeah. Cause it's so easy to get.
Yeah. Big Daddy Ryback with Phoenix Marie, Kendra Lust, and Kimmy Granger with the calling out all his hungry hoes and the feed me if you need me. That's a way to get a crossover with online and people watching the wrestling product. But what I'm getting at is, I think with wrestling, and I go back and I'm like, I just recently downloaded the NWO Wolfpack song because I had a thing I posted with Kevin Nash giving Virgil the greatest big boot in the history of big boots. And in the NWO, I hadn't heard that song, the Wolfpack song, in so long. I go, man, these guys were so damn cool. Man, these guys were wearing jean shorts and fanny packs. There's nothing cool about that, but they made it cool somehow. And that's a testament to them. And I go, that's what's missing in wrestling. And Disco talks about this sometime. We all in wrestling too, you want the guys that love the business and you want guys, but at the end of the day, like, and this goes for all sports entertainment, do you care, Raj, if your star running back gives a shit about wrestling history or gives a shit about, you know, of loving football, or do you just care how he performs?
How he performs, and a lot of time it's like across the board, it's character, charisma, all those
everything
things.
It's star power, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that is a very important part of wrestling that we are neglecting overall. There needs to be that piece. WCW had it back in the day. WWE had it at their peak. You need to incorporate that back in because it elevates everything else on the card. You need relevant, cool things on your television program. And I just say porn because porn is the most relevant thing going on in the world, and finding a way to get that on your television, not saying porn on your television program, but that crossover where you're using and not just porn, and find other industries of things that are working that people, you got to change with the times is what I'm getting at ultimately with all of this. That there needs to be that piece in the puzzle, that wrestling puzzle, that will help the ratings. It's not saying you're replacing all the good. You're not replacing your bell to bell with this. Mm-hmm. You're adding it in.
Right.
Adding it in. So.
Yeah. And to your point, I think if you try to make the product cool to a mainstream audience, as opposed to a small segment you already have the wrestling bubble. There's a million wrestling fans and you're getting that. They're going to watch whatever you put out.
Give them one match a week. Give them one Meltzer 5-star match a week. They're going to tune in.
Exactly. But if you start to appeal to that mainstream audience, that broader audience, and just perform stuff that just the average person will watch and be like, well, that's really cool. Like you mentioned the NWO back in the day, Stone Cold, The Rock, where anyone watching is like, wow, that, you know, I could keep watching that guy. You know, then you've got something. Then you'll see a real boom. As opposed to right now, I'm about to do the AEW numbers, and we're kind of in the margins kind of where it's been for a long time. And AEW, they did a strong number this past week as far as the demo goes. They did 913,000 viewers, which, in my opinion, that's a little bit of a disappointment. It was up 29% from last week. It was the sixth highest overall viewers of the year. But in the 18 to 49 demo, they did a 0.42, which was their highest rating all year and going back to last November. So huge in that 18 to 49 demo. although the overall viewers, it was still good, but it wasn't, considering how hyped up the match was. Sting appearing, you guess a bunch of people are tweeting and people maybe tuning in because of that. But overall viewers, not great, but the demo was huge.
And this is one of those things, Raj, where I'm telling you, it's going to take time. Nothing that there's, we're not going to see that big of a jump. There's, and the way you do this, it's going to be in storylines and larger than life characters over time. I'm telling you, wrestling has to find a way to get cool again. And this isn't nothing. Sting is amazing. Sting has a large following. Man, I love Sting. But let's just have an honest conversation too, as far as this. He's a 62-year-old man, right? How appealing is that to a generation of kids, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 30-year-olds, right?
Right.
It's important. I dig it. I love it. It's great business-wise. But it's not the final answer.
Right.
It's just a piece of the puzzle, and they recognize that. But to me, wrestling has to – we got to look at the world. We have to look at Tony and Cody and the Young Bucks, which, by the way, I just read their book. I didn't know a lot about those guys. Very good book. I don't agree with everything, but I like it. I have nothing but respect for the story and creating success on their own terms with that. But I think it's looking at this younger generation and being like, what's cool right now? That's why I bring up the porn thing, because it's just the number one thing I see. There's so many people with addiction and online, but it's finding other trends on social media and the personalities, the wrestlers creating their channels and getting themselves over on social media. And then this can help bring numbers in. If everybody's getting over on social media one way or the other, you're going to have an audience that follows you to the TV product, because being on TV is cool, but you got to make it cool also. And you got to, we can't just appeal to that same group. We got to make them happy still. We acknowledge them. We give them the things that they like. We give them a little bit, but we don't make the whole cake about that. We have different sections of the cake here, and we want everybody tuning in to get their little piece of the pie, piece of the cake, whatever you want to call it on that. So I agree that you with the hype and all that, but that hype is built into already the fan base. And so we're not going to see that monster jump until we start really, really stepping outside of the box and looking in, tapping in. What's cool? What are people watching right now? How can we get that incorporated into wrestling and get them to watch for 15 minutes?
Right.
That's if I'm with a company, those are the questions I'm asking in a boardroom meeting, guys, like, what's going on? What are the trends on social media? Great. This person has 50 million followers on social media. How can we get them figured in onto our program and get some publicity and maybe get another 10,000 viewers out of this long term or whatever it is? So, but yeah, good news for them though. A 29% jump is a 29% jump.
Yeah.
We want them to keep it though at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And NXT did fairly well considering how strong Dynamite was. They did 658,000 viewers. They were down 8% from last week, but last week it was actually did way better than they usually do. It was actually the 658,000 viewers for NXT was their second biggest after last week since the beginning of November. In the 18 to 49 demo, they got crushed, as you'd expect. They did a 0.16, whereas AEW did a 0.42. So, gosh, what was that, like 160% that AEW beat NXT by, give or take? So,
yeah.
Strong win for AEW in the demo, but NXT, not really that bad. That 0.16 that they did in 1849 demo is still in the neighborhood of what they've been doing lately. Yeah. So not a bad week for NXT, a good week for AEW.
No. And you know, again, like I'm not the best at commenting about NXT because I don't watch. And it's not that, like, again, this is nothing against any of the talent individually. I just not the WWE business model. It's under that business model still. Rather, whether Hunter's running it a little differently or not, he's just better off maybe protecting some guys. I don't know what the answer is going to be for them of getting more viewers outside of what they're already getting, because under that business model, I don't see things changing unless it changes on all three brands with all of that. But it's good. I'm glad it's been close at times though, because I think it keeps AEW, and they already know, but they got to keep expanding, to keep stepping outside of the box and trying new things. Whereas I don't think NXT, and this isn't the talent, I don't think they have that freedom as much, and especially social media-wise. This is why I preach this. I want everyone in AEW getting on social media and getting themselves over as much as possible, because it's going to play a huge part in defeating WWE long-term and helping out get more and more people over. Like it takes time and it's a process, but that can be sped up with social media and with WWE's restrictions on a lot of the talents on that end. You know, you can't speak openly and freely either in WWE on social media. I remember being under contract and outside of when I was doing things as a heel and tweeting, but I remember though, there's always repercussions because it's just such a judgmental place, and it there could be major booking repercussions, creative repercussions. Whereas I feel like with AEW, you're allowed to shine a little more on that end. But as far as NXT goes, I don't know that they're going to, I don't know if I see them getting consistently over 1 million viewers at any point under the, because as a whole, I feel like the company is just going down, and that's my honest take over across the board on everything. And NXT is connected to all of that. But for talent wise, you know, I just think as far as athleticism and doing moves, the guys they have there are great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a busy week here, Ryback. Next week, I think, is going to be pretty busy too. Kenny Omega appearing on Impact Wrestling, Sting's first interview on Dynamite. So it should be a fun one. But as always, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, Raj. As always, anything to plug to wrap up this week?
Yeah, keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. You know, we have tons of news, exclusive news, tons of interviews. We've recently had interviews with the Young Bucks. We just had Christopher Daniels the other day, Gerald Briscoe, even Pete Dunne. It's hard to get WWE talent, but we were able to get Pete Dunne. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com, and we definitely appreciate it.
Good deal. Raj, I'm actually going to stick around. I'm going to do a few questions with the chat. They had a few questions in there, but thank you as always, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
Right. Good one.
Right.
Bye. All right. I'll do a few questions here, guys. I see that in the comment section. And before we wrap up this week's show, I appreciate you guys all joining me and Raj with WrestlingInc.com. You know, here's a good – we got a question here. I stopped watching NXT because every time they get called up, they are stuck in the mid-card and never get pushed as the guy. And in all fairness, so not every guy can be the guy is with that. And but it is a thing that happens to a lot of promising talents. You know, Aleister Black comes to mind as somebody to me that I thought was getting over early on. And I thought they were going to figure him in a lot more. And it went the other direction. And on talent like that, I think is a perfect example of what you're talking about. There's a lot of other guys, though. Not everybody can be the guy, though. And in WWE's business model is now they don't – people that organically that are getting over, they don't run with anymore. And we've seen it time, and we saw it with myself. We saw it with a lot of people. It's the most disheartening part of wrestling, and it can – it was crippling. It, to me, it just takes away all fun, all creativity. And it makes it really, really, it sucks. It just is a job that you go there, you just read whatever they write. And I've seen it happen. It happens to everybody. And it's not a fun process because you essentially, there is no brass ring. There is no getting, you know, on fire. And if you do, it can all be taken away. So, because you're not supposed to. So, but I feel your frustration on that. Look here, do a few questions. And I did see also the comment that Renee Young on John Moxley, his kind words on the Renee Young Oral Sessions podcast. Me and Neen John have always gotten along really well. And I appreciate that he called me a sweet, sweet man and he missed me. And I always loved wrestling, John, and I look forward to kicking his ass in the near future. Maybe we'll go do some training at Extreme Couture together once I'm back. Be grappling partners in different weight classes. I'm also, guys, I got Heath Slater joining me on tomorrow's Ryback Show live at 4 p.m. Kimmy Granger had to reschedule this week. She got not COVID, but she was sick. And Kimmy Granger, I believe, is going to be the following weekend here. But I got Heath Slater joining me tomorrow, 4 p.m. Pacific, on the Ryback Show. If you want to join and listen into that, that will be a fun little Nexus reunion with the one-man band, Heath Slater, baby. Woo! I'm just seeing if we got any other good questions here, guys, before we wrap up this week's live Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. As always, guys, if you could leave a review on iTunes, it is greatly appreciated. And we're on all podcast platforms. It goes up shortly after the live here on Ryback TV and Ryback Rules on Twitch as well. All right. I don't see any other questions coming in here, guys. Any new ones? Indonesia, hello, hello. All right, guys, thank you very much. We're going to wrap up this week's show. Feed Me More Nutrition. We have our holiday sale going on, 20% for all of December. Save 20% on Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com with discount code HOLIDAY20, discount code HOLIDAY20 on feedmemore.com. We have gym bags coming. We have new beanies coming, and we have new face masks coming as well, which I will be making those face masks available eventually as a free gift for shopping on feedmemore.com. But your love and support is greatly appreciated. And again, those iTunes reviews really, really help us out. So if you could take a minute, guys, and leave a review, I say thank you in advance very much. Thank you much, very much for listening. You've just listened to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed Me More.